You are VIPs. You're very important people who are disciples of the Lord Jesus. Right? Someone that follows Jesus and wants to be like him. You know, and he says, learn from me. And Pastor was talking a little bit about that, about learning from Jesus. And I think that the greatest way that we can learn from people is to watch them. And by watching Jesus and how he is and how he acted and how he spoke and how he treated people is a great way to learn from someone, is by watching them. Right?
Yes.
Okay, so this morning, I'm so glad. I've had a lot of encouragement this last week because I've been a little frustrated about, is this making any sense? Is this helping anybody? Is it like, can we grab a hold of what's really happening and how can we apply this, you know, from a spiritual perspective? Because I know I'm talking a lot about the brain and about our soul and incorporating the word, but it's so vital that we understand the power of our choices, like Johnny's talking about. There is, we receive information from our five senses, but then once you receive that information, you have a choice. And I'm just going to write down, your brain will receive a negative signal or a positive signal. A lie of the enemy has no substance or strength until you take it and make it physical substance. So, you know, we've all seen the cartoon, right? We've all seen the cartoon with the little person below us with this thing right here, right? What does this represent? It's thought or an idea. Well, the words actually would be the one where you have the little thing like this, right? And then that's talking. But this actually means the little dot, dot, dots. It means your thoughts. And so a lot of times I think we think, because here's the person here, that this is outside of that.
True.
We have the little puffy cloud here above us and we think, there's your thought. But your thought's on the inside. And it says, out of the abundance of that is what is going to come out of you from your mouth or your actions. And whatever you think about is going to grow. And everything you say and do isn't just a random vacuum event like this. Everything is first a thought that you build inside your head. You can't speak from nothing. Words are not going to come out of your mouth unless you have taken thought and given it thought. It's not just going to come out. Somebody, you can say, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to say that.
Yeah.
It was there. It was on the inside of you. And so we have to take responsibility for what is coming out of our mouth.
Even if it's joking.
Yes, of course. It even says, I mean, even the word talks to us about core suggesting and doing these kinds of things. And just knowing that, you know, that saying when we were kids, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. It's so wrong. And so we need to take responsibility for our words and what we're saying and what is it doing and is it producing and bringing life. And the Bible says that by your words you will be justified and by your words you will be condemned. That's truth. But a lot of times we don't really understand, well, how can I be condemned by that? Well, how can I be justified by that? Well, if you're speaking truth and if you're studying truth and then out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So we can kind of know just by having conversation with somebody what is on the inside. Because your words give you away, either in a good way or a bad way. So everything is first a thought inside your head. You can't speak from nothing. You can't act from nothing. It has to come from a source. So when the devil has no power over us, Jesus defeated him. Jesus defeated him. And so what does he do? 1 Peter 5:8 says that he goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the only way that he can devour us is we do it to ourselves. If he can get us to believe a lie, like, for example, you get a bad report from the doctor. And so what happens is, and even Maggie shared this about Lori. She battled cancer. She overcame it. She was in remission. She was doing fantastic. And then something happened. She went back to the doctor. The doctor gives her the bad report. And so what happens is all the information that she had built from the previous experience of things that doctors had said was all there. And so when she gets this diagnosis and she starts thinking about it, what happens is all of this stuff that's on the inside, and even though, I mean, she was in remission, she believed God, she was healed. She was healed. She overcame it, and she was healed. So here comes the next test. Whose report will you believe? So she has to battle all of that stuff, those trees in her brain, that mental real estate that has taken up room in her brain to say, where am I going to go from here? But she even told her mom, she's like, I keep finding myself reliving those days and reliving those thoughts. And so it was so important to take responsibility for that and start to change it. And you know, when we were, I was talking with a friend this weekend, it's like, you know, our walk on this earth is so temporary. It is a vapor. We are just sojourners. We're just pilgrims passing through, and we are like a puff of smoke. And so the life that we live today is relevant in that God has placed us here for a time and appointed season, but it's so short compared to where we're going. Amen. And it's so temporal. And if we can know what we're going to, you know, so that whether Lori's body chooses to line up with the word or whatever, we know where she's going. Amen. We can rejoice and know that, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and like rejoice. It's our loss that we mourn. It's our absence on this side that we mourn. But when you know that there is life everlasting in abundance, it's a party. We can celebrate and rejoice and know that. So, I don't know why I got off on that, but I just know that we probably take life too seriously. God wants it. He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So I had a friend ask me this weekend. I haven't seen her in a long time. We got together. And she asked me, is it okay for me to want the money to be able to pay off our property? Is it okay for me to want things? I'm like, well, this is what Jesus says. I want you to have life and life more abundantly. What does that look like to you? God's not withholding from us. We limit him. You know, the Bible says he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I mean, all the gold is his and all the silver is his. Everything is his. We limit him by what we can believe. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. And the hope is the blueprint. Hope is the blueprint. So if I am telling you I'm going to build a house, and I say, perfect example, when Dwayne and I built our house. Honey, he says, let's build a house. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So I procrastinate. Remember, that's my big thing, procrastinate. So we don't make any plans. We don't make any plans. And so we get to Colorado on our vacation, and we have time to think about the house. And I kind of know there's a few little things that I know for sure that I want to do in my house. But as far as putting it in concrete and writing it down, so he makes me sit down at the table with my mother. And he gets this piece of cardboard out, a big piece of cardboard that came from like a dishwasher or something big, and put it in the middle of the table. He said, this is what I'm thinking about. This is about how big I want it to be, and we're going to build a barn, and inside the barn, we're going to build our house, an apartment, kind of like something, an apartment. Okay, that's small, which is good. Small is easy to take care of. I'm okay with that. Our kids are going to be gone, so it's all good. So we get out this cardboard, and so he draws out how big he wants it to be. So he draws this thing, and like I'm like looking at it going, so that means nothing to me. It's a square on a piece of cardboard. He's like, okay, so your bathroom needs to be like so many feet, like let's say, I don't know, how big is the bathroom? 12 by 10, 12 feet by 10 feet. So he's like, this is what that's going to be. So he does these little, oh my gosh, it just puts me on sensory overload. So when we get home, we have this blueprint on cardboard of what my house is going to look like. And we use that through the whole building phase of my house. So when you're thinking about your life and you don't have a blueprint of what it's supposed to look like, guess what's going to happen? You're going to randomly go through life, and stuff's going to happen, and events and circumstances are going to happen, and then you're not going to have a blueprint about what your life's supposed to look like. You just say, oh, okay, I guess this is just my lot in life. I guess this is just how it's supposed to be.
Or I wish I'd have done this.
I'm sorry?
Or I wish I'd have done this.
Right, right. And so most people either live in regret or they live in dread. And they're not in the present. And God wants us living in the present, being confident that the blueprint that we have painted for our lives is coming to pass. Because we have something to look at. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if this is the hope that my life is going to be happy, I want a happy life. I want to live in my happy world. Well, what does happy look like? Happy looks like peace. I want peace in my life. I don't need a lot of drama and all that kind of stuff. I want to resist that, and I want to help other people find peace. I want joy. What does that look like? How do I obtain joy? Well, the Word says, and Debbie even said it, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy brings strength. So when you start thinking about what do you want and how do you want your life, what God wants you to want that. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You have to have faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. He's got to know, what are you hoping for? What is it that you want? You want favor with the VA. You want favor. What does favor look like? And you be specific. Just like I was talking to y'all about Duane. And look, what happens in Sunday school should stay in Sunday school. I told y'all the story about Duane finding the plane. And so he's like, yeah, three people already told me congratulations, I'll buy my plane. I'm like, I didn't tell them that you bought a plane. I told them that you had found a plane. So anyway, we're still in the process of that. But the story is relevant, and I want you to use that story about being specific. Duane had to get specific. Who was not in Sunday school last Sunday? You guys weren't? Well, I'm not going to repeat it, but the point is that he was all over the place about what he wanted in an airplane. And nothing was coming about, and he was frustrated. He would go to the computer, and he'd be doing these searches, and he was frustrated. And I want him to be happy with me. I want him to have joy with me. I want him to let's enjoy our life. Why are you frustrated? I don't know what I want. Then you're not going to get anything. The Bible says a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord, right, Jose? A double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. But ask the Lord for wisdom, and He will give it to you liberally. So we started getting specific, detailed, exactly what he wanted. And then he woke up one morning, and the Holy Spirit told him, put it on that site where you've been looking for airplanes. See what happens. He put it on there, specific details about what he was looking for, and he gets a phone call from a guy who says, I have a friend. Or no, a friend called me and told me about this ad. He didn't even have his plane listed. Did not even have his plane listed anywhere. He says, my friend called me and told me that you were looking for my plane. Exactly right. And so now they're in the process of talking about it, doing some investigation and seeing it. And it may not be. I mean, it may not be the right one, but at least Duane has seen a manifestation of what he's hoped for. Because he put his faith out there. This is what it looks like. And so if we're constantly just doing it this way and thinking that it's out here, up here, it's not. It's between here. And so whatever you're thinking about, it's growing. And whatever you're thinking about, it's going to be coming out of your mouth. So if you're in the default mode of fear, and everything that you're thinking about is fear-based, guess who you're feeding into? Not the kingdom of God. You're doing exactly what the devil, the only way that he knows he can get to you is through you. You empower him by your thoughts. God wants us, okay, Isaiah 26:3, and Jeannie gave me a really good one this week too, but let's go to Isaiah 26:3. Who has an Amplified Bible today? Jeannie does, yay! Okay, Jeannie, I need you to read it loud though, okay? Isaiah 26:3.
You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you.
Okay. So, how does peace come? He says, I will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind is stayed on him. Now, what does that word stayed mean?
To live there, live in that area.
Yes, yeah, right. I'm staying. Like she said, stuck. I'm stuck on you. I'm looking to you. And I'm trusting that you're going to do this. But let me ask you a question. If you don't feel like God's on your side, where's your trust level going to be? If you don't feel like the person that you're with is on your side, what's your trust level going to be with them? If you feel like God has allowed something to happen in your life that was bad, how can you trust him if you think he's the one who did it? He said, in the world you will have tribulations. Bad stuff happens. Events and circumstances happen that we have no control over. The only thing we have control over is us and being connected to the vine, because that's where the empowerment comes. John 15. Let's turn there. You should have it underlined. John 15, where Jesus talks about being connected to the vine.
God's will is motivated by his love.
Yes, God is love. And we are created in his image. So we are like him. And so when we become connected to the vine, and we are the branch. So now that we have an idea about what it looks like on the inside, we're the branch. And he says, who wants to read it? No, I'm sorry. Read 15, I don't know, 1 through 5. It is a great chapter. We can read the whole thing. Let's do it. Read 1 through 5. Go ahead, Lex.
This is out of the New Living Translation.
Okay.
I'm the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. Amen. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
You can do nothing. And so, and just looking at the world today, there's a $45 million self-help industry that is failing because they're not connected to the vine. They're not connected to the source, the power that brings true healing, that brings true wholeness to our lives. Without me, you can do nothing. So we struggle instead of saying, wait a minute. Wow, if I stay on God. And then James says that if I lack wisdom, he's going to give it to me liberally. What does liberally mean?
Plenty of abundance.
An abundance, it means like pouring over, like more than enough, more than you're going to need. He says, I'm going to give that to you. But wisdom, and you know the scripture, I read this yesterday, and there is a worldly wisdom. There is a wisdom, and it says, that seems right to a man. But godly wisdom is pure and peaceable. I mean, there is two kinds of wisdom out there. I mean, the fact that they say that there's wisdom in the world, but that what it leads to, it's destruction. So when Jesus says, you can do nothing apart from me, cut off from vital union, you can do nothing. But he says, when you're in union with me, I'm going to do some pruning. And I think that's what we've been doing. Is we've been doing some pruning and pruning back those branches that are not bearing fruit. And what does fruit look like? When we say fruit, we think apples and oranges and bananas and mangoes and blueberries. The fruit that he's expecting to come from being connected to him. There's the Holy Spirit, and then there's your spirit connected, and then there's the soul. This should be submitted to this. Your soul should be submitted, and your soul has a foot here and a foot in the body. So the body should be submitted to all of this. Our body should be going in the direction that our spirit's being led by the Holy Spirit. But what we tend to do is, because of our weakness of not being connected to the vine, not thinking about God and worrying about things that are going on in our life, instead of letting him guard us, knowing that he is working in our lives to willing to do his good pleasure, it says that God's working in your life. We're the ones that keep him back. We're the ones that keep him from working in our lives. So Psalms 37, let's go there. So talk about, how many of you find it hard to not worry? How many of you are worriers? Raise your hand if you're a worrier. Tend to worry? Yeah. You kind of get anxious? I don't know what translation it says, but it says, be still and rest in the Lord. Wait for him and patiently lean yourself. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers. But there's another one that says, do not fret, it only causes harm. Verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil doing. But there's what does yours say?
Do not lose your temper, it only leads to harm.
It only leads to harm. So he's saying, if you read Psalms 37 every day, just read it every day, because it starts off, fret not yourself because of evildoers, neither be envious against those who work in righteousness, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither. So don't worry about what's going on out there. Don't be concerned about what's going on in the world, or you see somebody that looks like they're prospering. He says, don't worry about that. He said, they're going to be cut down. Don't worry about their end. I want you looking. I want you looking to me. It says, trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident in the Lord and do good. So you shall dwell in the land and feed surely on his faithfulness, and truly you shall be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. Wow, it's already time to go. Trust in him, and he will bring it to pass. I mean, if you meditated on just that scripture, Psalms 37, 1 through 8, every single day, think about what faith could be built on the inside of you. Because faith is what we and God purposes for us to walk our days out in. Is believing that he's a good God. And that when we trust in him, he's working everything together for good. Because we love him. Because we're connected to the vine. He's like, I want that. And he says, because I love you, I want to prune you back. Because when I prune those things off, guess what's going to happen? The good tree is going to produce more, and it's going to have more and more branches. He just wants us to look like him on the earth.
Have you ever discovered pruning doesn't feel
good? Oh, yeah, absolutely, and it does not.
No.
It does not. And going through this process of rewiring the toxic thoughts, it is painful. It is painful. But when you realize that the end result is... There you go. That's what I'm saying. My blueprint, my happy world. I'm going to be in my happy world. I choose to be in my happy world. I will have joy. That's what it looks like. I'm going to have strength, freedom. I'm not going to be anxious or fretful or worrying. Because what happens when you do that? What does fretting cause? It only causes harm. How about that? Fretting only causes harm. That is the end result of fretting and being anxious and worrying. And guess who it's hurting?
You know, after you prune a tree, the tree looks so beautiful after it's done. And not only that, all the grass around it can grow now and becomes very healthy.
Absolutely. And even if you prune, you know, if you have a tree and it's got the little things, the... What is it called, those little things coming out of the bottom? The
shoots.
I'm sorry? You know, it's just, it's coming up out.
Shoots.
Right, yeah. And so they are actually taking life from the main branch. So it's like, okay, those got to go. Because they're not going to ever become the tree that you want that's going to produce the fruit. All they're going to do is suck the life out of the tree. Mm-hmm. So sometimes those things have to go. Okay, anybody have anything they want to share?
I just want to say that I only want to abide out of the shadow of the Lord.
Amen.
Abide in the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can hear His voice, and I'm safe.
Amen. Jeannie, that's awesome.
I love to claim scripture that goes along with what you said about who is the Lord on your side.
Yeah.
Just this week, he reminded me of Psalm 118, verse 7. The Lord is on my side.
Amen.
That's my part.
Amen. Amen. That is so awesome. That is so awesome. Okay, so I am going to be teaching through the month of July until I leave on vacation. So what we're going to start doing in July is we're going to literally go through the steps of the rewiring, detoxing, and what that really looks like. Like every time we come, we're going to talk about one phase of it so you can kind of get it down on the inside of you. And like I said, we all know how to renew our minds because we've been doing it since we became believers. But this is actually, you know, some people just need a formula. You know, they need step by step by step. And Jesus even says that we learn line upon line, precept upon precept. And so I feel like it's okay for some of us that need a little guidance or just like the steps to take, or, you know, everybody wants a formula. So hopefully this is going to help, and that's what we're going to do through July is learn how to rewire our brains. Anybody good? Anybody want to say anything? Okay, Father, we thank you and praise you so much for your word. Oh, Father, what would we do without your word? We thank you that it is a source. It is our source of life. And we just praise you that as we go into this week, that we are going to be connected to the vine, that we're going to be led, guided, and controlled by your spirit, that we are going to live in the secret place of the Most High and abide in the shelter of the Almighty. And we just praise you and thank you for your angels that you've given charge over us, that you've hedged us behind and before and laid your hand upon us, God. We just thank you that as we are thinking about you and our hearts are set on you, that you are going to guard us and keep us in all of our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.